Welcome into the OVC Extra Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Schwartz, Assistant Commissioner for Strategic Communications at the Ohio Valley Conference. If you want to catch up on previous episodes, you can find us wherever you download your podcast with complete information at ovcsports.com/podcast. Episode 28 featured Jamal Thompson, the recipient of the 2020-2021 OVC Steve Hamilton Sportsmanship Award. A three-year member of the Tennessee Tech football team, Jamal walked onto the Golden Eagles basketball team a year ago when the program needed more players. In addition to his on-the-field achievement, Jamal graduated last May with a 3.96 GPA and on campus founded CODE, Center of Diversity Education, a student-led group that promotes unity through diversity. Even though he is eligibility remaining, Jamal is moving into a leadership role behind the scenes as he pursues his doctorate. In this episode, we discuss why it's important to give back to his community, his experience with the Tech football and basketball teams, what it's like to compete during a pandemic, how the idea of CODE came about, and what that organization is going to do next, and what his collegiate experience has been like as a whole. Now, my conversation with Jamal Thompson. Well, Jamal, I appreciate your time and joining us on the OVC podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to start this. You won the OVC Steve Hamilton Sportsmanship Award this past year. And for those listening who don't know, it's an honor that's bestowed to one male or female student athlete at the end of the year. It includes good sportsmanship, citizenship, and as well as athletic performance. What was your reaction when you were told you won this award?
I was extremely elated. I did not know that it was an award, admittedly. And to do my own research about it and then read of the other people who have accomplished the same thing. And the fact that I was even considered in the same category for an award of such a high and prestigious honor, I was truly humbled by it. I was extremely ecstatic, to say the least.
Well, you know, student athletes, and just in my opinion, you know, from seeing you have a lot going on. You got your academics, you got your role on the athletic team. That's enough for most people. But, you know, some of you go a little above and beyond and take it to the next level. You know, you even played a second sport this year that we'll talk about. But why do more? Why do more than just achieve greatness in the classroom and on the playing field? Why do all the community service? What's your mindset behind that?
I think it really just boils down to the support system that I'm blessed enough to have around me, seeing everybody, seeing my peers and seeing my teammates, my coaches strive for more in the classroom and outside of the classroom. I think served as a complete benefit for me. And it only, you know, heightened my expectations and heightened my motivation to do more. Honestly, I truly feel more times than not that I'm not doing enough. I watched so many people do so many great things before me, seeing my parents work as tirelessly as they have to ensure that my siblings and myself never went without anything and we never desired anything. And then, you know, coming here, it's easy to go to class and do what I'm supposed to do. So I never look at it as I'm doing a lot more so than anything. I do feel that there's more that I can be doing and should be doing. And that really goes back to my parents, but also the great people that I am fortunate enough to be around here on a daily basis, pushing me and molding me to do better.
And I listened to and read some of the interviews you'd done before I was preparing for this. And I think you had said something to the effect of, you just don't do things for recognition. You do it because it's the right or the thing to do. So you even recognize all the things you're doing, or you're just doing the things you think are important. And sometimes that adds up to a bunch of things going on.
You know, to answer your question, no. And right now, I still don't think I truly realize the magnitude of what has happened and what's going on. Because, like you said, it's not about the recognition for me at all. I didn't know this high award was a thing, and I feel bad for saying that, but I didn't know it was a thing. And like you said, just not doing things for the recognition for personal gain, but always trying to put back into whether it be other people or the community is something that I feel is important. My closest mentor, one of my closest mentors, he told me that you do not need to be the alpha and omega in your life. You need to be somewhere in the middle, meaning don't be the beginning and the end. Be in the middle. Don't make your life the be all end all. And I'm sure when he told me that, he thought I wasn't listening. because he was really getting on to me when he told me that. But at the same time, it resonated with me. And it's something that since he said it, it's something that I take with me every single day. So not making it about me and making it instead about the people beside me or the people that I'm with on a daily basis, I feel like is the most important thing. And trying to leave any space that I'm in better than when I got there, I think is what everyone should strive to do. So if I'm doing even a fraction of that, I think I'm doing okay.
Well, you came to Tennessee Tech, you know, to play football, obviously. In high school, you competed in basketball and track and field. So when the football season was postponed this spring, you know, you joined the basketball team when they had a need for a player. Can you tell us a little bit about what led to that and what was your experience like with the Golden Eagle basketball team?
It was a great experience. I'll start there. It was the coolest thing to happen to me in a very long time, and it was so unexpected. How it started was the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, was in a really weird place in November. No one really knew, do you continuously get tested? What's this vaccine coming out? Like, it was in a completely different space. And me, I am 100% confident that I had been quarantined the most on Tennessee Tech's campus. I got quarantined 7 times. So once, I think right around November, it was the belief that, you know, once you get it, then you can't get it for a certain amount of time. So the basketball team got wiped out by COVID. I think over half of their team had it to where it was only like 6 people left. So they needed players. They needed people in order to go play the big games like the Indiana and the Western Kentucky, and Northern Kentucky was in there as well. And I had been practicing and just being around the team, being a part of code and just being really cordial and really cool with a lot of the basketball players. And I had been working out with them and just being around them. So it made sense to bring me in, knowing that I'm not really going to be out there trying to score 50 a night. That's not my role. I'm there to be the biggest supporter and play my role and help these guys get to play these important games and just be a support in any way I can. So being able to do that, completely unexpected, but also a really tremendous blessing, just being around some great individuals who previously I had a relationship with, but the bond that we formed over those couple months really, really continued to grow. And those are guys that I believe that I'll talk to for an extensive period of time moving forward. So it was a great thing. It was a cool thing. And I got to see some cool places. It was amazing. It was really amazing.
Is there anything that you learned, you know, got from that experience that maybe you wouldn't have gotten with just playing football, just being around these guys?
Absolutely. Playing basketball growing up, it's, you know, it's completely different. And the biggest thing that I opened my eyes immediately was these guys are in tremendous shape. Football shape and basketball shape are polar opposites. Football, you have to be able to go for 7 seconds and then you get a 40-second break. Basketball, you're constantly moving. You're constantly moving throughout the game. So that was the first thing that stood out to me. I remember my very first practice, we did something as simple as dribbling. It was dribbling in place. And, I played basketball, but having to do that on a collegiate level and doing it on a high level, where I didn't look like I didn't belong, was tough. I went home, passed out, laid on the floor for like an hour. And the mentality is different. Like, it's similar, but it's completely different at the same time. All 5 guys have to be on a string and have to be in unison in order to make the entire system work, which is something that I think I neglected to realize prior to joining the team. And just also realizing that, you know, it's the same meticulous mindset that many football players have in perfecting their craft. It's completely the same thing in basketball, if not more. You have individual workouts where you're on the court getting 1,000 shots up a day, then you're working on your handles, then you're going in the weight room, and all of that is before practice. So then you have a team practice, then you have meetings. It was a completely different experience. It got me in shape for football because I came right out of quarantine. So I was more out of shape than anything, and then went right into the spring football season. So it was a cool thing, but it was easily the most physically challenging experience that I've ever had.
Well, let's shift back to football. What's your experience been like so far with the Tennessee Tech football team? You know, this season obviously was different, but really looking at just the numbers and the stat, you've had maybe the last 2 years have been your best years, and you've really come into your own as a player. So what's it been like so far?
It's been a great experience. In similarity with being around the basketball program, the football program is really where I felt most at home. More times than not, that's what I grew up with and learned how to go through life being a football player. So I came here, I transferred from East Tennessee State after my freshman year of college, came here with Coach Dwayne Alexander and wasn't on scholarship. I had to walk on and I had to earn my way. So being able to see the progression that I've made and being able to form building relationships and extensive and important relationships with a lot of great guys is something that I think I will cherish the rest of my life. And, you know, the last two seasons were some of the most exciting football games that I've been a part of. So being able to be a part of that around a group of guys that I actually enjoy being around outside of football, I think is something that it will always stick with me.
You know what, with the COVID year, everybody got an extra year of eligibility. So you'll see some people who are seniors back. What's your plan for the rest of your playing career? You've already graduated, but do you have more football? Are you going to try basketball again? What's the plan going forward?
So I have officially decided to forego the remaining eligibility that I had. I will be stepping into the executive leadership coach role for both the basketball and football programs. And that's mentoring young athletes and other athletes about the different aspects of professionalism and going about how to be a leader within a program, learning the ins and outs of collegiate athletics, and just being a resource, being a tool, and serving as an advocate for student athletes and serving as a positive spokesperson for Tennessee Tech athletes and even athletes abroad, maybe. So that's what the goal is. And being able to still be around the football program and the basketball program, I think is a win-win for me. And still pursuing an advanced degree. I will be getting my doctorate in exceptional learning for at-risk populations within the next 4 years. So still being around, still being on Tennessee Tech's campus, still being around two programs. I'm a blessed individual. I couldn't ask for anything more.
Maybe less basketball conditioning in that role then? You won't have as much running to do?
Extremely less basketball conditioning. I do not see myself getting out there running with them ever again. That's something that one time is enough.
What's the so then what's your ultimate goal? You already, as I mentioned, you graduated, you already had a degree. I believe you had a 3.96 GPA communications. You're going to work on this doctorate. What's the long-term goal? What do you want to do then down the road after that experience is over?
Yes, sir. Just finishing up this doctoral program. That's the short term. I say short term. It'll be 4 years. It's a long term goal. But after that, am I going to being a professor here at the university? Just finding different ways to give back. There are a myriad of opportunities to give back to marginalized groups, and I think that's where my passion lies. I know that's where my passion lies. Giving back to individuals who may not have the resources to be successful or the advocates to be successful. That's where I want to step in and be an advocate for anybody, whether it's somebody growing up in a rural community or the inner city, or even in a way, student athletes can be a group that is oftentimes neglected as well. So just finding ways to give back is where my passion lies. And pursuing this degree for the next 4 years will set me up perfectly to do that and give back into various communities.
We've talked a little bit about on the field. This is related to on the field, but just the past year, I'm just curious, you know, COVID obviously impacted everything that you and your teammates did on a daily basis. Can you put in perspective what this past year was like, you know, competing and really, you know, doing things differently than you all were used to the whole year?
Absolutely. It was tough. It was difficult for a multitude of reasons. Like you said, going from the status quo, doing things a set way and a routine way to now you have to add and integrate various aspects like testing. For the football program, at least my 3 years, 2 years prior, we practice in the morning, 7 o'clock, 7:30 every morning. Now we're playing football in the spring. Now, okay, we have classes, so we have to start practicing that in the afternoon and throw in there, okay, it's going to be 20 degrees when you wake up at 6 a.m. We don't want to be out there in the morning, so let's try to practice at later times. So now it's not only challenging from an athletic standpoint, but it's challenging for a student standpoint as well, having to work your class schedule around and still maintain a certain GPA, but also get in and get the necessary tutoring that you need and the necessary help that you need to be successful in the classroom is something that oftentimes doesn't really get taken into account when looking at the COVID year. Then you go to the athletic side. Now, okay, so like I said, it was 20 degrees when we got back in January. So now you're working out, it's freezing cold when many people would be inside and we're playing games. We're getting tested constantly to make sure that we don't contract the virus. So it took a lot of mental fortitude for a lot of guys to get through. And it took a lot of perseverance athletically and mentally and academically to even being in a position to get to the first game, which was Austin Peay. And that's something that Coach Alexander constantly preached to us. We just got to get there. We just got to get there. Coach Pelfrey did the same thing as well. We got to get through this time period so we could get to Indiana to make that first game. So it took a lot of grit to be able to come out on the other side of this COVID-19 pandemic and being able to be alongside of a bunch of great guys on two different teams. I personally don't think I would have been able to make it through without the support of my teammates and my brothers.
What's the, how you and your teammates, how's it feel now though? Like we're basically back to normal everywhere. Is that sigh of relief? Like we did it. It's finally over. Things are going to be back to what we're used to.
Absolutely. And I guess technically I'm not an athlete anymore. I'm a retired athlete, we'll say. So I think for a lot of guys still going through it right now and still being around the football program and the basketball program as they're doing afternoon workouts, seeing the looks on each other's faces is completely different than last semester. Understanding like, okay, we're getting back to the status quo. We're getting back to this feels familiar. This feels not foreign like last semester, and not having to be socially distanced from one another, not having to be wearing masks at practice and in meetings, being able to embrace one another and have that sense of unity and camaraderie, I think is something that we missed for a long time. So seeing the joy on everybody's faces, I think is definitely a big sigh of relief for me on the outside looking in.
We touched a little bit earlier at the beginning about the things you've done. And I want to talk a little bit about being involved in the Cookeville community. And you've done a bunch of things. And I know, especially with your football team, I know volunteering is a big part. And I see the stuff that gets posted, the different things you do. You know, is that something that the coaching staff pushes? Is that something that just the players themselves like you, like, we need to be doing this? Is it a combination of both? And maybe what is one of the favorite volunteering experiences you've had, you know, helping out in the Cookeville community? And I know this last year is probably different than what it had been your couple of years, but just give us a little insight to that.
It's to answer your first question, it's a combination of both. There are obviously certain people who are more integrated into the community and desire to do more and give back in a host of different ways. But then also, speaking from the basketball and the football perspective, and I know other sports teams on campus are the exact same way, the coaches strive to build that community relationship and to form these bonds within the community. And the best way to do that is to go out and serve and go out and be a light in many different ways. One thing that I learned and I knew prior, but it really hit home the last semester, and that's being a student athlete in Cookeville, in a small town like Cookeville, you're essentially a superstar. There is no Tom Brady, there is no Aaron Rodgers or LeBron James walking through the door. So the community in Cookeville really rally around their sports teams. So when you can see and touch a Bailey Fisher or Willie Miller or Junior Clay, and they're coming in serving the community, that's huge, and it goes a long way in forming those relationships. changing some of the narratives around student athletes, but also building bonds in the community. And I think that is something that is a testament to not only the type of guys that the coaches are responsible for bringing in, but also the coaches in itself for pushing that agenda and making sure that each student athlete understands that it's much bigger than one individual. Serving the community is the first thing. And I think that's great. Your second question, what would be my personal most favorite thing? Being a part of CODE, the Center of Diversity Education, we got to go in some of the elementary schools and some of the middle schools in the community as well. And we got to read to the kids and we got to be a part of their daily lives and go to recess. And I think that is something that I think really touched me more than anything, due to the fact that, like I mentioned before, they don't know LeBron James, they don't know Steph Curry, but Jamal Thompson that comes in and spending time with me, that's a cool thing. And seeing the elation on their face, I think, is something that really got me a little emotional in a different way than before, than I really expected it to. And I think that's something that hopefully they will remember, but I know for a fact that I will remember going forward forever.
You answered perfectly the segue into my next question, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about CODE and a Center of Diversity Education. It's a student-led organization that you helped start. So I wanted to ask, let our listeners know a little bit more about it, and I'll put some descriptions down or links down in the description so people can find out more. But tell us, you know, how did it come about? Where did the initiative to start this come from you? And tell everybody a little bit more about CODE.
Absolutely. So CODE is an acronym for the Center of Diversity Education. And if you look at a college campus, student athletes are among the most diverse group on campus. You see people from all different walks of life and different backgrounds, different racial backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, religious backgrounds. So the student athletes being the center of diversity and then going out and educating people about what it means to be diverse and what diversity entails, that's where the name came from. The idea conceptualized following the murdering of George Floyd. Myself, along with a lot of different athletes, were experienced a vast array of emotions, from sadness, anger, grief, confusion, resentment. I personally experienced it all, and I experienced it all with a lot of like-minded individuals. So instead of waiting around and waiting for people to appoint someone for us to talk to about these issues, we all bonded together and came together and said, okay, well, we can be there for one another in this time, and we can be there for each other and serve as a support system and serve as a crutch, for lack of a better words, to be there for one another in times where there was a lot of confusion and a lot of emotion. So it started, we set up an initial Zoom meeting, an interest meeting, to see, okay, well, is this going to be a thing that people want to gravitate around? And the first thing that we did was we talked openly and freely about, okay, well, how are you feeling? Not what you're talking about and not what you're seeing on the news or on Twitter. How are you feeling as a person about this trying time that is going on? So we talked about that. And then the next thing that we did was, okay, well, we need to figure out how to pour back into the community instead of dispersing in this time. Let's unite and let's come together and let's create something for us, by us. And that is the Center of Diversity Education. And our first idea was, okay, let's go into the community and talk to the kids and figure out how to galvanize a group of individuals and show that you're more than what you may look like. You're more than where you come from, and inspire the youth. And that is what we wanted to do firstly. And like I said, just creating something for us, by us, and promoting unity through diversity is our biggest mission and our biggest goal. And definitely the biggest blessing that happened through the pandemic and through the injustices that happened last summer, it formulated something beautiful in the Center of Diversity Education. And it gave me the opportunity to connect with various individuals who prior I did not have a relationship with. Even at ETSU, the basketball team would speak with the basketball team and the football team would speak with the football team and so on and so forth. Not that there was any issues. It was just, that's the familiar group and that's the group that you're comfortable associating with on a daily basis. code comes along and it allows a more unity, allows more unity to be prominent on this campus. And it created a family atmosphere amongst student athletes. And not only a family atmosphere, it created an advocate for student athletes. That is what the Center of Diversity Education is. It's an advocate for student athletes, but it's also a family at its core. And that is what it came from. So what was originally a terrible, terrible, tragic event, and many events prior to the murdering of George Floyd, it helped formulate something beautiful. And I'm forever thankful and forever blessed to be a part of it.
And that, I mean, that's just fantastic how you put that together. One of the things you all did back in October was a co-sponsored march through campus. And I heard you talking about the things you just said, bringing people together, the family. What was it like to see all those people coming together on that day from all the different walks of life and being one?
It was easily the most emotional time that I've ever experienced in my life. I am not a emotional individual at all. I rarely, if ever, shed tears, but seeing 200 people come together and march for equality and march for peace and love and support the student athletes on this campus, it moved me in a way that I have not been moved since, and I had not been moved prior. It showed that there's a lot of support here within this community, and it also showed that, okay, we see you, we can grieve with you, we can support you in this time. But it wasn't a protest, it was out of love, it was a march, a unity march. So to come together for unity and for love, the words and the feeling that I had that day was indescribable. And I was quarantined, a little tidbit for that. So I got the call right before the march was supposed to happen. And everybody's calling me and like, JT, you can't go. And I knew what the call was. So I wasn't answering my phone all morning just so I could get to the march. And then lo and behold, I ran into Dr. Rob Owens, who was the vice president of student affairs at the time. I believe he just got a promotion recently. And he said, JT, you are not supposed to be here right now. So I had to go home. And luckily for me, I had a great support system. My code family picked up the ball, and it showed me that one moment showed me a lot about leadership. It didn't take me to have hands on and strangle the situation to death, because everybody, there were no other agendas. There were no outside agendas. The one agenda was promoting love that day, and everybody in code stepped up, and it could not have gotten done without them. And I got to lead the group in my car. So that was a cool thing. I was there in spirit. I was there kind of physically, but when I saw everybody pass my car, I immediately broke down in front of all 200 people, just embarrassed myself in front of everybody. But it was cool though.
What type of feedback have you gotten from people on the athletics community, the campus community about this? And, you know, I was curious, have you heard from other people that have seen what you've done at other universities and say, hey, Jamal, how can we do this on my campus?
Yes, sir. The feedback here has been tremendous and even overwhelming at times. When the idea presented itself, it was nothing more than an idea. We didn't know, is this something that people are going to support? We didn't know if people were going to rally behind us, or if it was going to further ostracize us in a more explicit way. So following the march, following us going into the schools and just continuing to be a prominent figure within this community, everybody has truly rallied around us, and the Center of Diversity Education truly galvanized the community in a way that hasn't quite been galvanized before. And it showed that, like I mentioned earlier, that we are seen, and that we have a tremendous support system behind us, and we are recognized for more than what we are blessed to do on the football field or on the court or on the diamond. That we are people with a lot of great ideas, and the support has shown that, you know, that when we all come together and unite, we can accomplish tremendous things. And that has been the biggest lesson for me. As far as other schools, we did work with East Tennessee State closely for our first podcast. And we talked about various topics that is on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. So you guys can check that out if you ever get a free moment. But it was cool just hearing their stories and hearing some of their backgrounds, but also showing that, you know, racial injustice and racial tension and racial ignorance is not an issue that is exclusive to Johnson City or Cookeville, but it's something that is, it's a vast issue. So being able to talk about that with like-minded individuals and individuals from differing backgrounds was a cool experience. And we are definitely interested in branching out and extending the invitation to further build relationships and bonds with other universities moving forward as well.
Outside of that, outside of expanding and have it be in other places, what else is next? I did want to mention to our listeners that maybe you can talk about, you all had a 3-hour service learning class in partnership with the local law enforcement that I thought was tremendous too. Anything else along those lines that you know, for the future iterations and what's next for Code?
Yes, sir. We got a lot of big things planned. You mentioned the class that was a really cool and monumental thing, because that is something that, to my understanding and to my knowledge, is not existing anywhere else. So to be a part of a groundbreaking experience like bringing in local law enforcement to have conversations and have real discussions about real issues with a group of mostly student athletes, mostly minority student athletes, in a time where everybody wants to divide us and further perpetuate the disparity that exists amongst law enforcement and young individuals, going against the grain and showing that, okay, we can unite in there and we can educate one another. We can educate them about what we go through, but they can also educate us about real life situations and how to better protect ourselves and how to make it home at the end of the day. That is a great thing. So we will be continuing that class in the fall. We have about 15 people signed up. We can add maybe 5 more. And that is something that we want to continue as we progress and as we move forward, because the conversations need to continue happening. The conversation, at least on this campus, was a little late, but it was prominent, and we striked while the iron was hot. So being able to have that conversation and being able to continue that dialogue is something important. And as far as other things, we will continue our Crack the Code podcast, which is available on YouTube, and just continuing to impact this community in a positive way in any way that we can, whether it's continue to go out into the elementary and the middle schools, which we will do, or doing giveaways or different support things that we can do on this campus is something that we will do. And that's the mission, and just promoting unity through diversity and continuing to change the narrative around the student athlete.
So for someone that's listened to our conversation, maybe they're not a student athlete. So maybe there's somebody that works in my office building, you know, they're an alumni who lives 5 states away. Just on the whole topic of diversity, what's something that a person like that that's not an athlete can do to just, you know, be part of the solution and to listen and learn more? What would you suggest somebody do?
Absolutely. And diversity isn't something that's limited to just athletics. It isn't something that's limited to being an athlete. And for me, being 21, the first time that I saw true conversations, true uncomfortable conversations take place was last summer, following the murdering of George Floyd, in the midst of the riots and the uprising that ensued after that. In the midst of that, there were real conversations that took place, and that is so imperative when trying to right the wrongs and trying to support. And the biggest thing is empathy, not sympathy. That is a huge thing. Empathizing with somebody of a differing background and understanding their perspective, but also listening, actively listening, and not trying to listen to form a solution, but listening to understand is something that is important. But the biggest thing is education, you know, educating yourselves, having these tough conversations, having the tough dialogues that many people shy away from, welcome it, and, you know, no longer use racial ignorance as a shield. Break down the shield and have these tough discussions and tough conversations in order to build a better future for everybody. And that's what I believe should be the main goal in all of this, is just to leave this place, this little bitty earth, this little bitty country better than we found it. And I think education is the center part of that, and being able to, you know, expand some of these relationships.
I think we need to get you in some kind of public office when it's time, or president, because you're much more wise than some people who are leaders in our country. But I mean, all that is just, I mean, it's just fantastic. So your playing career, you've wrapped it up. You've got your undergraduate degree. You're still going to be at Tennessee Tech, but how can you wrap up and sum up your Tennessee Tech experience so far, just from the whole perspective of everything that you've been involved with?
A blessing, in one word, that I can sum it up, would be a blessing. When I first got here, I was lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I was paying for school out of pocket. I didn't have any friends. I didn't know anyone. I was in a foreign town. I didn't even know what Cookeville, Tennessee was. So it was a new experience for me. Had I stayed at ETSU, I firmly believe that I probably would have drowned there. The opportunities that have presented itself here would not have presented itself there for a vast array and a myriad of reasons. So being able to transfer here, being able to eventually work my way up and get playing time, to joining a different sports team that I never saw happening, to forming relationships with great individuals and great people from differing backgrounds, to just feeling like home, it, all of it is a blessing. I think I was very much sad and depressed when I first got here, and now I feel liberated and free. Like it is a truly fulfilling experience to not only be comfortable in your skin, but be comfortable where you are, and understand that, you know, you're here for a reason, and the reason is not for yourself. It's a much bigger and broader scope, and serving other people. I think that is something that Cookeville, Tennessee has showed me, and I'm forever thankful for that experience. And I don't think I would have got that experience anywhere else, honestly.
Well, I think that's a great way to end it, Jamal. It's just been a pleasure speaking with you. And we started off talking about the sportsmanship, and that's a broad term, but just all the things I think you've done on campus, academically and athletically, and in the community, really, really is an example to people who sometimes, sometimes the word student athlete gets mocked. They think they're just there to compete, but that's definitely not what your experience has been. So I appreciate your insights and everything you've done at Tennessee Tech and broadly and to help the OVC as well.
Thank you so much. I can't express how appreciative I am for you having me on your platform and allowing me to talk about my code family. So this is a big thing for me, and I appreciate you for it.
That was my conversation with Jamal Thompson. If there is an epitome of what a student athlete should be, I think Jamal is pretty close to it. I really enjoy talking to him about everything he has going on. For those on the outside of sports who may only see the negative stories in the news, it is great to hear from someone who achieves on every level, athletically, academically, and in giving back to the community. If you have a suggestion for a future guest, reach out to us on Twitter at OVC Sports. Remember to find us on your favorite podcast platform and like and subscribe to help spread the word. You can also visit ovcsports.com/podcast for information on this podcast, as well as find links to all of our school-produced podcasts. Until next time, take care.